Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I want to get into an argument about whether they use the SpaceX reusables for their rocket stage. But go ahead, Stephen Bassett.
I wasn't referring to SpaceX. I was referring to a metaphor. Remember, I'm the king of metaphors.
I know.
Yeah, okay. So the Two Stars Academy still exists. It did its fundamental job. It's probably going to do very well in the post-disclosure world, I assure you. It's going to raise a bunch more money, and it's going to be a player. But in terms of the fundamental agenda, it did its job. And then the next stage was the hearing process. And ultimately, Mellon and Elizondo had to step away because the final process of putting hearings together and working with staffers on the Hill, really they had to be as individuals with their credentials. They couldn't be part of a public service organization with a multiple mission statement. The Hill doesn't want to negotiate with an entity like that. And so they had to step away. It's perfectly appropriate. Justice stepped away as well. I wasn't sure about that, but I think I may know why. These are the three key people in that group, always have been. Justice prefers to stay in the background, but his importance will come out soon enough. So there's no disparaging of the TTSA. They did their job. They did a great job, and they will reemerge in time. But right now, they're not the focus. The focus is getting the hearings, and that's underway, and that's being handled by it's being significantly impacted by Mellon and Elizondo. Those are the key players right now. Elizondo's got a little distraction over at the IG's office. But overall, these are not particularly big deals.
Okay. I want to ask you about those distractions because these are things that get press. So, for example, Elizondo is saying that they disappeared his emails.
Yeah, that came out apparently in the discussions.
Right.
He was probably pressing for those emails because some of them may have reflected some of the disparagement he was getting. They said they didn't have them. Danny, of course, wasn't buying that, neither am I. What they really mean is that, well, you know, they're not there, but they're somewhere. In other words, one of the things going on there is Elizondo has a problem with certain people in the DOD that have been playing with him. I get it. Now, I'm a little concerned because I don't want this, what's going on, Dan, that'll be about Lou. I mean, I think these things can be resolved at some point, but this is much bigger than Lou Elizondo. And so I'd much prefer that he was not distracted and able to be ready to go in terms of helping them make decision about which military witnesses to bring forward. But you know, he has a right to defend himself, and there may be other reasons. Maybe it's just an excuse to get in the door. I don't know. But,
you know, I have another question, Stephen, that occurs to me through all this. Why ignore the past history of the UFO field? Why stick it in a little box? It's all about the stuff they looked into now, the 140-odd cases. What about all the rest, 74 years of history?
The answer to all the questions like that is fairly straightforward. The whole agenda here is to end the truth embargo. That's the agenda. Ending the truth embargo is getting the president to confirm the ET presence. It's not about unloading or somehow covering all the history. We've been down there many times. And by the way, to truly engage this history, you need to be in the post-disclosure world. Trying to engage the full history of this in the pre-disclosure world is brutal and endless. But you know, we've made some progress.
Why is it brutal and endless?
Why now?
Why brutal and endless? I knew them well. They showed up yesterday and it was hard to deal with. But seriously, why brutal and endless? Why not at least refer to it in a general summary?
Because if the goal was to get the truth embargo ended, and if the goal was, in order to do that, you had to get hearings. In order to get hearings, you need to convince committee chairs in the Congress that it's politically safe and appropriate to actually call for hearings. And you don't need to dump on them 70 years of the whole history of this field, which they haven't the slightest possibility of being able to absorb, that's filled with all kinds of complicated stuff, including stuff that's quite true but simply not engageable before disclosure has taken place. That's not going to help you. You sort of set the entire history aside and you start off from a new starting point, and that starting point is the Nimitz event, 2004. And so what you present to the New York Times is the Nimitz event. You don't present the New York Times Roswell or Rendlesham Forest or any one of 10,000 cases or Project Blue. No. You go to them with the Nimitz case and the witnesses, which they can put their minds around and act on. And the rest has got to be kept out because it's simply – you can't get an elephant through the door. You might get a llama through the door, but you're not getting an elephant through the door. So don't try. And so the idea is to keep it straightforward and don't say extraterrestrial because that makes it harder to make that political decision to hold hearings. And that's one thing. And of course, and this is the most important thing. Not the most important thing, but this is very critical. Without question, the absolute most appropriate and safest way for the United States Congress, which has not exactly been a pillar of courage for a while now, for even good people to call for hearings, is a national security platform. Does the phenomena, as it's represented in the Nimitz case and other events since then, which puts this back to 2004, which is what? It's 17 years. It's not that long. Does that justify a national security analysis of this? Well, of course it does. And for somebody that's on the fence, you just talk to them, you know about nuclear weapons tampering? And I assure you, the nuclear weapons tampering military witnesses are going to be in the hearings right off the bat. And so there is a legitimate, and so you present it that way. You use the word threat. It's best if you use the phrase potential threat, which they do as well. But not surprisingly, in the come and the go and all this, the threat gets emphasized. Some people overemphasize it. But all it really means is this. Does this phenomena represent a potential national security issue? Absolutely. And therefore, any member of Congress that calls for hearings will want to know, why the hell are you holding hearings on this UFET thing? Well, because there's some clear national security implications.
Well, exactly. Okay, so I think that what we've got is, you know, more than two players, right? There's, like yeah. you were saying, Stephen, like there's us, like we know they're real. There's the them, and they know they're real. And then there's people who really don't know one way or the other, and I don't think they care. I think that they're just using UFOs as a MacGuffin that's necessary to help further their own motivation, and one of them is definitely monetary. You can read it right in this report, where it says, increase investment in research and development. The UAP task force has indicated that additional funding for research and development could further the future study of the topics laid out in this report. Such investments should be guided by a UAP collection strategy, UAP R&D, technical roadmap, and a UAP program plan. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, isn't that all just wonderful for somebody who's got to shell out for that?
Well,
that's not the only spot. There's great, big, bold letters, right? It's explaining UAP will require analytic collection and resource investment. Mm-hmm. Investment, money, monetary...
Let me. I don't want to shock you or anything.
You know, follow the money.
When the announcement of the ET presence comes out, and we enter the post-disclosure world, the amount of money that's going to be spent on that subject and research and new research is going to be enormous. The amount of money that's going to change hands is going to be enormous. So that's a given.
We'll be back with Stephen Bassett. More to talk about in just a few moments. I mean, with Stephen, you just say go, and we sit back and relax and let him tell us what's happening. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, that's another interesting point, too. If you're going to increase expenditures for UAP research and collection, that is an issue for Congress to deal with, because the people on the Appropriations Committee have to somewhere put in the entries that specify the number of dollars they're going to spend.
Yeah, again, step back from the painting a little bit, see the whole picture. Once the extraterrestrial presence is confirmed, I really don't think anybody's going to be able to put any spending bills in to spend money on trying to confirm if they're extraterrestrial, because that's already confirmed. And then in the post-disclosure era, where there will be a lot more hearings, I mean like in lots of hearings, in those hearings it will come out, what we already know is that, well, we've been spending huge sums of money investigating the phenomena for 70 years. And so these statements that they're making become moot. How else can they say it? For one thing, they can't say, look, and we recommend that since we know they're extraterrestrial, that we start spending some money and trying to figure what star system they come from. They can't say that. And by the way, talking about the fact that money may have to be raised, well, if you're a member of Congress, you're already thinking that some of that money's coming to your, if it were raised, would come to your district. In other words, even though they know a lot about this, and we know a lot about this, and we know that they know a lot about this, that doesn't change the fact that the way this has to be unraveled is the way it has to be unraveled. Right? I mean, there are other ways, I suppose, we could go about it. But right now, the Defense Department has got to cover itself. The Navy's got to cover itself. The Air Force isn't doing anything. Maybe they're just going to resign and disband the whole damn thing, turn it all over to the Space Force. Everybody is trying to conduct this in a way that minimizes the problems they might face. That's why I call it a public relations extrication program. We're not just ending a lie. We're extricating ourselves. I say the government is extricating itself out from under a 74-year extensive embargo, which involved countless lying, all for national security reasons, and legal. So it's not like, gee, I told my parents a lie last month, and now I got to tell them the truth. No. This is high-level chess. This is three-dimensional chess. This is not easy, and there are so many parties involved. It has got to be handled in such a way that you get minimal damage. The people involved are people that won the Cold War, won World War II, have massive computers to deal with, are professionals at gaming out everything. Like what happens if Greenland suddenly melts? They got a whole probably program telling them 18 things that might happen.
Yeah, but we had a president who wanted to sell Greenland or buy it or something.
That's true. But Bobby didn't think it through.
Yeah, we'll write a check tomorrow. I want Greenland. You know, I'll carry it home on my back.
By the way, don't be shocked that Joe Biden is keeping his hands completely off of this. He's not going to be doing a Podesta or Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton. He is staying as far away as possible, which, by the way, because of his career, he always pretty much stayed away. Do I think he knows about it? Absolutely. He was tipped off by the Clintons, minimal, if not Obama. But he's staying away. Why is that a good move in this three-dimensional chess game? Because to the extent that this is handed to him by the testimony of the hearings, extraordinary testimony from dozens and dozens of highly respected military, mostly inactive, retired people, then he is in a position to say, wow, I sort of wondered if there was something going on here, but clearly, based on his testimony, something is going on, and I've looked at it, my top people at the Pentagon looked at it, I've talked with congressional leaders, and we conclude that the testimony is convinced us that there is an extraterrestrial presence. And if to the extent he stayed out of it, it looks like Joe is coming to that conclusion right along with the rest of us. You see how much better that is than a president just wakes up one day and says, I can't keep this on any longer. I can't lie anymore to you. I've always known they were ETs. All my predecessors knew. So I'm telling you today, don't be too hard on us. No. That's not the way things work. And so, again, he's going to stay out of it. He was even asked something, and he kind of laughed it off. Probably not a bad thing. Basically, he's basically saying, I'm watching this. I don't know what it means yet. I haven't decided. I got other things to do, too. Things are kind of busy right now, but he's staying out of it. And that's the way it should be. That's the ideal situation. The hearings will, of course, bring it right to his doorstep.
Well, also, the press will ask him. He doesn't hold that many press conferences, but he does hold press availabilities where, after a short speech, they'll ask him a question or two. Biden isn't always as disciplined as others. He's been known over the years as Gaffe City, although in this current term, he seems to be under control for the most part.
You know what a gaffe is? A real gaffe is when you misconstrue a report coming in from the Intel Department and accidentally bomb a ship that you thought was Chinese, but it turns out to be, I don't know, a Peruvian tanker or something. That is a gaffe.
We got to watch out for those Peruvian tankers, though.
Yeah. The kinds of things that people are talking gaffes, I am unimpressed. All right. And so when they start attributing gaffes to something really meaningful, I might give a damn what they think about that. But in terms of how he's handling this so far, he's doing pretty well. Now, there are questions being asked of the administration. And let me go there because that gets pretty interesting. Psaki, of course, is the press secretary. She's been asked a couple of questions. And she has handled them in a straightforward way. Better than pretty much we've seen in the past. She clearly isn't dismissing it. But she's referring it down the road because she can't go there either. But nevertheless, they're handling it appropriately. But you want to know what was really telling? This is great stuff. There has been maybe Biden is not giving as many press conferences as people would like, though compared to the previous administration, I don't think there's any comparison whatsoever. However, there have been plenty of press conferences over at the Department of Defense. Remember the Department of Defense? And they have a press secretary too, and his name is John Kirby, and his position is pretty much as powerful as Psaki's position as press secretary to the president. And this issue has come up. Let me show you how it came up. And by the way, it's come up in exactly the same context as when the leak came out from the DOD to the New York Times, June 3, roughly around that time. Okay? So it's virtually simultaneous. Now, most people simply, they don't film, they don't show, except maybe on C-SPAN 9 or something. They don't show the press briefings over at the Pentagon. But you can find them. Go to just put defense press briefings in Google, and up they come. You can read them for days and days.
We're going to do our break now, and we'll talk more about this with Stephen, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden calls for an end to the non-compete clauses imposed by large companies on workers.
You can't leave Burger King or go to McDonald's. Come on. Is there a trade secret about what's inside that patty?
He signed an executive order that includes more than 70 actions to lower prices for families, increase wages for workers, and promote innovation and faster economic growth.
Capitalism without competition isn't capitalism. It's exploitation. Without healthy competition, big players can change and charge whatever they want and treat you however they want.
Haiti is still asking for investigative help after the assassination of their president, Jovenel Moïse. The White House said that senior FBI and Department of Homeland Security officials would be visiting Haiti soon. This is USA Radio News. Could the big ransomware attack that happened earlier this month have been avoided? According to USA Radio Network's Brad Bernard, there were warning signs.
Executives at Miami-based Kaseya Limited were warned of critical security flaws in its software before a ransomware attack this month that affected as many as 1,500 companies.
This was an attack that sort of hitched a ride on IT management software. So the original sort of attack was on Kaseya, which has this management software that it distributes to clients and distributes updates over that software. These clients then in turn have their own clients who they use that software to sort of help manage their IT operations.
Flights were grounded and two terminals were evacuated at the Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport in Florida after authorities received word of a bomb threat. The sheriff's office cleared the scene after no explosive devices were found. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
If you're just tuning in, it's hard to summarize everything except that we have the Pentagon UAP Task Force report leaked on June 3rd, officially released on the 25th. Of June, and what it all means is complicated, and Stephen Bassett, UFO lobbyist, is trying to uncomplicate it, if that's possible.
This is going to be fun. Here's a fun time for us. I'm referring now to the June 1st press conference at the Department of Defense, which is attended by the Pentagon press correspondents. I'm going to tell you, the DOD Pentagon correspondents are in a collective, a higher level of correspondence than what is represented at the White House press conferences. Okay? I'm just saying. That's the way it is. These are very sharp people. In order to be a correspondent of the DOD, you got to know a lot about national defense, nuclear proliferation, and a whole lot of stuff. All right? So there's the sharp people. So I'm referring to June 1. Press Secretary John Kirby is taking questions. And I don't know, about a third of the way through, up comes this question. And this is appropriate. They do not indicate who the reporter is. They simply indicate the question. If one were to watch it, I think you might be able to know what reporter's saying what. But it's not important for right now. Question. A quick question on the coming UAP reports. This is 2 days before that leaked in the New York Times, remember? There's been some reporting that this could be coming as soon as this week. Interesting. I had heard nothing that the public report would be coming out within a week. That would put it up around, what, the 8th or something? However, the classified report did come early on the 16th. Or maybe even tomorrow. Can you say anything about what timing we should actually expect? Kirby comes back with the what report, Matt? Now, people jump all over that, okay? But remember, UAP is the term we're using now, very intentionally so. to refer to UFO, because UFO is destroyed, ruined, bastardized, corrupted by the truth embargo deliberately, and therefore is utterly worthless. UAP means exactly the same thing, but it doesn't carry the rust, the corrosion.
Well, so forth. I'd have to disagree with you there. I mean, right in this report, it defines unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, as airborne objects not immediately identifiable. The acronym UAP represents the broadest category of airborne objects reviewed for analysis. UFO is an entirely different definition within official United States.
What is different
regulation
about UFO?
Okay, well, let's start with, first of all, when they were talking about unidentified flying objects back in the 50s, when the Air Force defined UFOs, they weren't just these random objects. It could be anything, okay? They were considered unidentified when a report apparently contains all pertinent data necessary to suggest a valid hypothesis concerning the cause or explanation of the report, but the description of the object or its motion cannot be correlated with any known object or phenomena. And they have an extensive list of stuff not to report as UFOs because they didn't want to have reports of vague lights off in the distance being interpreted as UFOs. Basically, they eliminated every possible thing, every known and even probable and even possible thing, all the way down to blowing bits of paper in the air, were not to be reported as UFOs at all.
Well, unfortunately, that may have been their desire. I need to look into that, but let's assume that it may have been the desire.
Well, we can go right to Air Force Regulation 202 from February
2. But the regulation is not what matters. What matters is what's happening in the real world, and what's happening in the real world for the next 60 years, just about anything, all kinds of things were reported as UFOs, referred to as UFOs in the media, in the public.
By people who don't know what they're talking about.
Doesn't matter, but that's the term. That was out there. What regulation may exist within the government is less important than how it's being used by the millions of people around the world and the media.
Which is in reference to what is generally understood to be an alien craft. So
there's no
question about that.
Look, it came to mean for a lot of people, and UFO is an alien craft. But why didn't they just call it an alien craft?
Because they couldn't. You know why? It's the truth embargo. It's the
exactly.
same reason then.
And so
it is now.
A lot of people knew that, yeah, that's really what it's referring to. But remember, there was a truth embargo. And so there are no extraterrestrials. And if there's no extraterrestrials, then why does somebody care about UFOs? And if you care about UFOs, you're mentioning UFOs. If you go to UFO conferences or UFO symposiums, you're somebody that believes in something that doesn't exist. You're a wacko.
Some people, but not to everyone. If you're a serious ufologist out there and you've got a level head about things, you know that that's not the case.
Yeah, but the truth embargo isn't based upon what serious ufologists believe in. The truth embargo is targeting the entire population of the United States and the media. And so if the media got it wrong, the people have got it wrong, the foreign press has got it wrong, the fact that some people sort of understand the difference is not really going to make much
difference. But they don't have it wrong. That's just it. If you plug in UFO into Google, you'll get like 8 million images of alien craft, not some vague light off in the distance, right? This whole UAP thing, just like you were saying, basically I'm agreeing with you here, Stephen, they're using this UAP acronym to confuse the issue.
Oh, absolutely not. We could not be more in disagreement.
Okay,
My position on this is very clear. I've said it over and over again. I'm going to tell you again. UAP means exactly the same as UFO.
And not according to their definition.
I'm telling you what my position is, okay? I don't give a damn what the government statements are. I'm telling you what my position is with respect to this as an activist representing more of the public's interest. I'm not representing the government's interest on this and what it does about UFOs. UFO, in terms of people out there that deal with this issue, means the same as UAP. And so why was there a movement to get to UAP? Why was that movement emerging to some degree out of the field itself? The government didn't come up with UAP. We were pushing UAP before the government even touched it, Hillary Clinton.
Not if you ask Nick Pope about it. He's the one who got together with NARCAP and pointed out that in Britain they were using UAP there because it sidetracked people from UFOs. And so NARCAP started using it, and that's where it started to gain traction in the ufology community. You know this.
Years ago, APRO called them UAOs. Unidentified aerial objects, that never caught on at all.
No. But that was then.
And this is now.
That, look, guys, I'm here to tell you what I know. You want to expound on what you know is good. I'm going to tell you what I know. Take it, leave it. It's okay.
Here's
what I know for your audience to consider. There have been various terms used, I get it, off and on. It's complex history. But a while back, started to use the UAP more. It doesn't matter whether it starts from NARCAP or anything else and what their intentions were or what Nick thinks is happening, what was happening in the UK. In general, in here, in the US, we moved to UAP. Why? It's simple. UFO, that simple anacronym, became the key, the kernel, right? The central core upon which the ridicule and the demeaning and the disrespect and the tinfoil hatism was associated. And this is how embargoes work. Let's say you've got a group of people in your country and you don't like them and you want everybody else not to like them. So you've got to find a way to hook them to something that you will then demean and ridicule and corrupt so that the moment that something is mentioned, everybody instantly connects that person to the ridicule and shuns them. Sometimes you'll put a patch on them. You'll make them wear something on their shirt. And that something is associated with all of the demeaning stuff that you've put out there. So the moment someone sees that thing on their shirt, they go, ah, you're one of those.
We're going to have one of these announcements to present, and then another segment with Stephen Bassett. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters.
My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, in a sense, then, UFO became as tainted as the words flying saucers back in the early 50s.
No, flying saucer wasn't that bad. The reason that Ruppelt and others kind of moved away from flying saucer was that flying saucer was too descriptive. It was too accurate, right? That's what they were, in a sense. They looked like saucers, and they flew. They needed something that wasn't so specific. And obviously, what could be less specific than an unidentified flying object? Just the name itself. Whatever the government wants to say that is, the government can define it anyway. The words speak for themselves. Unidentified flying object. Is a bird that you can't quite see clearly an unidentifying object? You bet it is. Is a frisbee that gets thrown but you can't quite catch it all the way?
No, it's not, Steve. That's where you're completely
in, why isn't it? Is it unidentified?
Because the people who created the term in the first place defined it in a specific way. If you want to take how they defined it, the people who created the word itself, and just say, well, that doesn't matter, I'm going to call it whatever I want, do you really think that that's intellectually honest? I don't.
It's not about intellectual honesty.
Well, it is for me.
It's not about how it's defined. It's about how it's used. Tinfoil hat refers to a kind of hat made out of tin foil. That's pretty basic, okay? Now, the government hasn't come up with an official definition of tin foil hat, but maybe it did. Maybe it came up with an actual statement that they put in some government report to saying tin foil hats only refer to hats specifically designed to look kind of weird with a little point on top, and that these hats refer to the fact that some people think they help block out signals that are controlling their mind. And that was the official government report. Okay. Don't care. Tinfoil hat came to be used as a demeaning term. If you believed in UFO, you were a tinfoil hat person. That's what matters. Truth embargoes are not built on government definitions. They're built on how the people in the press use these terms and language back and forth, not once or twice, but millions and millions and millions of times. And so if somebody calls you a tinfoil hat person, you're not going to go, wow, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that because I truly am a tinfoil hat person. And it's the same thing in terms of public demeanor on UFO. When somebody says you're a UFO person, they're not referring to the government definition in a report from 50 years ago. They're saying, you believe in UFOs. right? He believed in UFOs, and they don't exist. The government says they don't exist. And so you're kind of a weird person. You're a wacky person. I've seen too much of this to know that UFO cannot simply be looked at as perfectly benign. It is anything but benign. It was a fundamental term. Now, I can use other terms referred to other things in this way, but they're so reprehensible that I don't want to upset people. It is not what the government definition is. It's what the public perception is. And the UAP has the advantage of saying exactly the same thing, but without 70 years of the identification with ridicule, demeanor, and disdain.
It just doesn't say the same thing.
Okay. All right. I think we need just to move on. You and I are never going to agree on that. We're not in the same ballpark. So let me get back to this this question. Okay? So he says, the what report, Matt? Because I don't think that Kirby was just not up on the UAP that much. It's just not something that registered. And the questioner says, the UAP report, UFO report, he adds. Ah, Kirby says. Okay. That is really for the DNI to speak to, Matt. He didn't laugh. He didn't chuckle. He's just saying, well, that's for the Department of National Intelligence to speak to, which, of course, is who issued the preliminary assessment. As you know, this is a report, a congressionally mandated report. The DNI is in the lead. It will be the DNI who will be making that report, obviously. DOD has a role in helping flesh out the information that will be in that report. But as for a specific timing, I refer you to the DNI. In other words, it's going to be a report. The report is coming. The DNI is involved. And that's where you got to go. No dismissives. No ridicule, no nothing. And this is the spokesperson for the Pentagon. And so let's go on a little bit. So down, further down, I love this one. There's a bunch more questions. Now we're getting toward the end of this press conference. Remember, this is over at the Pentagon. Another questioner. And then one last question on the Pentagon's contributions to the UFO report. I've been speaking with a series of experts abroad who have expressed some concerns about similar investigations in other countries having too much of a military focus and not enough input from civilian scientists. I wonder if that's a concern that the Pentagon has shared and whether that came up at all during the most recent review process. Kirby, what we're participating in, a DNI-led study again on a mandated by Congress. He's kind of, this is speaking now, he's not clear. We're providing context and information that we have on these phenomena, and our focus is, again, on supporting the DNI's efforts to produce this report. That's where our focus is. And, again, that's our lane. That's our place to be in, is to provide this kind of context we have and the information that we have to help the DNI produce this report for Congress. This is the kind of answer he would have been given if he had been asked a question. What's the Pentagon contribution on the report recently about the hypersonic missiles that Russia has indicated they have developed? They're capable of traveling so fast and maneuvering that there is no chance in hell that we could shoot them down. He would have given a similar response. But, of course, the question was on UFOs. So now we move forward 3 days. In the after show, I'll go to another press conference at the Pentagon in which the subject came up again, and we'll talk about that. Now, again, very few people know about this. This kind of question being asked in that setting of the press secretary to the Pentagon and getting those answers is all anybody who studied this field well knows. We are in a completely different place. It was only 24 years ago that the Pentagon held a press conference, and in that press conference they reviewed the phony U.S. Air Force report that had been created by Sheila Widnall to put forward the Mogul balloon explanation for Roswell. And then went on to cover the dummy problem, I mean the body problem, because the bodies had been coming up, and that's when they presented this theory that what people saw were not 4 foot gray bodies of 47, but 6 foot blonde haired crash test dummies dropped 5 years later that had Air Force uniforms on them, and said that the mistake was called time compression. One of the stupidest things the U.S. Air Force has ever done or said or ever will say, a massive embarrassment to the Air Force and the government, just an abysmal treatment of the Air Force people who had to go out and say something that asinine. That was 24 years ago. And now we're here getting these questions asked. Disclosure is coming. Guys, get ready for it.
Hey, Stephen Bassett, tell our listeners, please, where we can find more of the things you do.
ParadigmResearchGroup.org. It's all there, including one almost 1,000 articles related to the TTSA and all the developments since 2018. 1,000 articles, 160 videos, soon to be 200 videos. It's also on that website. Follow me on Twitter, Paradigm Research Group. I need followers. Thank you very much.
Yes, he does. And he'll be back for After the Paracast. We'll get into still another Pentagon press briefing and see where we can take that. You can find us on Twitter, by the way. If you look for the Paracast, we don't do Twitter that much, but it's there and we use it. Also, Facebook, we have two official Paracast groups, committees, whatever they are. We're there. We also have the Paracast shop. Now, the Paracast shop is not just the standard branded logo merchandise thing. We feature some really great artwork there. From right now, it's Red Pill Junkie, Miguel, also the original artist for the Paracast logo, and some really good stuff from our own J. Randall Murphy, who also helped us redesign, spent hours redesigning that store. Go to theparacast.shop. Once again, theparacast.shop. And speaking of the After the Paracast show that Stephen will be on, we offer that to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus, and you get a quick sign-up screen. You get this show free of the network ads. And one more thing, we'll give out free Amazon gift cards for 5-year or lifetime subscriptions. How about that, huh? So go to theparacast.plus. Stephen Bassett is coming back. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Yeah. We're looking forward to talking to your subscribers on the after show. Got some more to say.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.